and buying time, killing people that's in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesarship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they mass us from rain. They burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face. Social side, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See their shit, force a bear. Fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill, they mass up from rain. They burn the kids, no more things. Gun, trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, my favorite little network on the internet. And today is the 19th of September. It's cloudy, wet, humid, but warm. So that's the plus side, which is okay. I got an interesting call today from a guy trying to call into Revolution Radio Studio B, where I do my show Saturday night. And I'm getting a lot of these calls because Skype lines are screwed up. But he's from, I think, Phoenix, Arizona. And we were talking about some stuff. And I like these calls because I get to hook up with these people. And I'm always yammering on about, you know, the power in our countries lays where boots reside, and I fight with a lot of people over that, but we talked for, I don't know, probably 3/4 hour maybe, and he got it. I mean, he really got it, and so now he's Phoenix, Arizona, and he's going to start spreading the word that the real power is where you live, not at the state level, not the provincial level, not at the federal level, where you live. That's where the power is. That's where we're going to get the power back. And hopefully he gets on it. Sounds like he's going to get on it. Sounds like a pretty knowledgeable guy, which is good because more and more people are getting more and more knowledgeable every single day. And he 100% agrees that, you know, we don't want to get into a firefight with these guys because they got us outgunned. So he also agreed that it's a spiritual psychological war, which is exactly what it is. And we just got to get our spirit together and get our minds working right. And we will get our countries back. Now, I'm not sure what the Canadian military is doing. I see here on a local news thing that the military training will be conducted again near Goderich. Now, I don't know why that would be. Maybe because they have a gay mayor and they're worried somebody might offend them. I don't know. I don't know why we would be, or the government, the federal government. Goderich is a little town of about 8,000 people in Midwestern Ontario. And we're nowhere near the border. So if you're going to do a military training exercise, why don't you do it down on the border? And I don't know, what kind of exercise could they run? What would be a good exercise for the military to run in Ontario down near the border? Oh, I know. Maybe they could figure this out. Maybe they go down and train the military how to stop the illegals from crossing the border. That might be an idea. But I don't imagine we'll get around to that. Anyways, the Canadian Armed Forces will be conducting a military training event south of Goderich this week. The training will take place at the former Blue Water Youth Center from Wednesday to Friday during the daylight hours. The OPP is advising residents that they may hear loud noises during this time due to the use of explosives in the training exercises. The Department of National Defense conducted similar training exercise early last week in the same location. The public is asked to steer clear of the former Blue Water Youth Center during the training event. Well, that is interesting. Not. Let's see. This is one of my favorite subjects in Ontario. Ontario Energy Board. To hear from Centre Wellington customers, who I'm sure are positively pissed off. Considering that the Ontario Energy Board was put together by Enron, whose job is to manipulate electricity and gas prices and feed the money out to their friends while putting the screws on all the people under the guise of having to pay for windmills and solar panels because coal's bad. And yada, yada, yada. Let's see what we got here. The Ontario Energy Board is bringing its rate review process to Centre Wellington this week. The province's energy minister, energy regulator, which is the OEB, the Ontario Energy Board, which is legislated by the Government of Ontario, but the Government of Ontario can't tell the OEB what to do. Another one of these bureaucratic, created by the government, and created in such a way that the government can't tell what to do. The province's energy regulator has received an application from Centre Wellington Hydro to increase its electricity distribution rates by $2.55 per month. This may impact customer bills for the next 5 years, starting January 1st, 2018. As part of this review, the Energy Board is holding a community meeting to help customers learn about the rate application and comment on it. The meeting is scheduled for Thursday, 6:30 to 8:30, at the Centre Wellington Community Sportsplex in Fergus. Customers are invited to make a 5-minute presentation at the meeting by first contacting the OEB at the register, yada, 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 by calling the phone number, and yada, yada, to get involved in the OEB's rate review process, please visit oeb.ca/participate. The Ontario Energy Board is an independent and impartial public agency, which has, as according to the Premier's Office of the Province of Ontario, the Ontario Energy Board isn't really even in Ontario. It's an outside entity set up specifically to screw the people. And I can just, I know I've been to these meetings before, it's ludicrous. You know, the people should just grab whoever's there and put a chokehold on them. You know, we're really concerned that we want to make sure you're happy, and we're going to explain why we're increasing your rates, and we'll give you some gobbledygook, and you'll be pissed off still, but tough luck. We're putting your rates up anyways. They just want to schmooze with the public a little bit so that they can show the public they too are concerned about the direction of our energy bills, which I think have pretty much quadrupled here in the last few years. Let's see. I was talking, this guy that called me, Warren, that called me from Phoenix, Arizona. We got talking about a few things, and I don't know how that came up, but Cat Stevens came up. I'm not even sure how that got there because we were talking about, running for local council, a bunch of other stuff, but we even laughed about Alex Jones for a while. So this guy gets it. And but he was telling me that Cat Stevens is back now, and singing again and making albums again. Well, that's interesting. So I went looking around and I seen Rolling Stones article from 2015 and a few other articles and this and that. And he's back, but he's not back. He's still a Muslim. But he's got out of the Muslim robes now, got back into Western dress, at least when he's out in public. Got a house and got a place in Dubai, and he was instrumental in creating Muslim schools in Britain. So he's not back. He's not. He's still a Muslim. And he's doing what so many of these are doing now. He's an agent, he's playing both sides of this, right? But his main push is Islam. I mean, his name is Joseph Islam. Kind of gives you a clue there. But he doesn't mind now if you call him Cat Stevens. You can call him whatever you want. He's actually dropped the name Islam, so he's just Yosef now, so he doesn't sound like he's a threat to anybody, because over here in the West, the word Islam tends to raise the hair on people's necks and gets them a little peeved off. So he's dropped the name Islam. That is, you can call him Yosef, or you can call him Cat, whatever you want. Doesn't matter to him. So he's out making albums again about refugees and this and that and the other thing, and people are tripping over it. Oh, this is just so lovely. This is wonderful. It just shows the IQ continues to drop as they work their way in here. So if you're Cat Stevens, I was a Cat Stevens fan. I mean, my nickname when I was a young teenager was actually Cat Stevens. We all had nicknames, and his name's Stevens, my name's Stevens. So they just tagged me with Cat. Might because I had a lot of hair, too, maybe at the time. Maybe I looked like a cat, I don't know. Anyways, I got an article here that I would really like people to wander through. It's from Esquire. And it's a longer article and actually a better article than the one that was in Rolling Stone. But he's most definitely a Muslim through and through. And here we have some comments. Brenda says, beautiful man. Nikki Day, good to hear that voice again. It's not his voice again. He's got a terrible voice now. Lisa says, amazing article about a truly amazing and talented human being. Excellent article about a fascinating personality and gifted musician. Most of these are women posting this beauty. Rhonda says, an extremely selfless, talented, amazing man who had an enormous vision in making a huge difference in humanity and did succeed. Marilyn says, one of the best concerts ever, inspirational, and truly the songs of our lives. Whatever. Sandra says, a wonderful interview to be read over and over again. Wanda says, great article and interview. I love Yosef, or however he's, Yosef, I guess is the way I want to pronounce it. When he walked away from the music biz, I felt I'd lost a good friend to what I didn't know. I just knew he was gone, and I missed him, and I hope one day to see and hear his voice and music again. And when I did, I embraced it. I was happy he was back. He didn't have to explain anything. I was just glad to see this beautiful man again. I love that he still performs his old songs as well as new songs. I could go on and on about how much I love and admire Yosef. I am truly a fan, have been for a long time, and will continue to be for as long as I live. Wow. Marsha says, a true light, art, joy, spirit, music, kindness, thoughtfulness, family of man. He is somehow tapped into the soul of humanity and speaks on a deep level for all of us that his pilgrimage in his life. I'm so grateful to have heard and listened to this journey at the beginning and to understand it now. I am so glad to be able to hear this beautiful soul music again. Thank you for picking up the guitar. And it goes on and on. Muhammad writes, Yosef Islam, that's his name, Yosef Islam, symbol of humanity. Not really. Symbol of Islam is what he is. Not the symbol of anything but Islam. He's a symbol of Islam. And Beth says, amazing journey, beautiful soul. And so he gave up his old songs, a lot of his old songs. He didn't give them up. What he did was he refused to collect the royalties off them. Any song that has anything to do with non-marriage or something that was maybe a little too racy or something, he refused to accept the royalties on it because it's against Islam. Well, I thought that rather humorous because apparently you can marry a child in Islam or through the Quran or whatever. But he didn't accept the royalties on some of his songs because they were too racy. But in Islam, I guess, different rules for different fools, you know, like you marry a kid, and but you he doesn't want to talk about, you know, maybe a bikini or something, I don't know. This is a very strange article, but it shows you, if you read the article, it shows you the manipulation taking place. And there's so much manipulation going on now. The churches are involved in it. The schools are involved in it. The politicians are involved in it. And Kat, the Yosef Islam, is up to his ass in it. And so people have to... I mean, I really enjoyed his music. He's a good songwriter. And he had a decent voice at the time. But he's pushing Islam. And so now he's playing back in the West, dressed in Western clothes. Oh, look, it's Cat Stevens. No, it's not. It's Yosef Islam. And he's pushing an agenda. And somewhere in here, he's on about the United Nations, and he's on about, you know, where is that? I think there's a headline for that, maybe, somewhere. This is a damn, I read all this, it's a long article. Maybe it was in the other article I read. But somewhere in there, there's something to do with you know, a borderless world, and so on and so forth. And it gets into the United Nations and whatnot. That part might be in another different article I read. I'm going to stuff it in here because I was a fan of this guy. I was a fan of Neil Young. I'd like to punch Neil Young in the face. You know, I mean, Neil Young, you got the Order of Canada. Now, the rule of thumb is if you get the Order of Canada, you're a player. It's that simple. Okay? You're a player. Gordon Downey Jr., get Order of Canada. He's a player. Anybody that's got an Order of Canada is working against your best interests. That's what they do. They put these people up on pedestals and, oh, look, he got this, he got that. People go, oh, isn't that great? No, it's not great. These are players. And they have the interest of the globalist at heart, not yours. And people need to come to terms with this kind of stuff. It's the same thing as the Jewish award. What the hell is that thing? The Nobel Peace Prize. Okay? This is moving a movement. And people go, oh, look at that. He got an award. Well, yeah, he did. He did so. He got an award. But you don't understand what it's about. So I'm going to throw this in. You can read this later or not read it at all. But it's worth a read. It'll give you a better idea. If you read this, then it will help you understand when you're reading other stuff. Because people, they get sucked into this celebrity shit. And they just all of their defenses just seem to melt away from them. And that's dangerous. Anyways, I do want to thank Warren for this because I would have never went and looked at Cat Stevens or Yosef Islam. I didn't know he was back doing anything. But what he's doing for a reason. Okay, he's doing it to push Islam, period. And it's just the way things operate. I saw another thing in the CBC News. Now, a young lady by the name of Karen Draper, who is a young child, is running for... I hope she got her nomination papers in. As far as I know, she's running. That was the plan. I was talking to her a week or so ago. Run for the education board. Or board of education. I saw a video of a CBC reporter. Excuse me, senior CBC reporter. If he said that one more time, I could get in the computer and slap him for that, but he's not any reporter, apparently. He's a senior reporter for CBC. I'm listening to, he's interviewing these candidates, some of them, right, at City Hall or wherever they're putting in their nomination papers. I'm listening to these candidates, You know, it's all about diversity and inclusiveness. And I just want to put my fist through the computer screen. These people have been vetted for the most part. And I'm seeing Muslims and Hindus. And I'm going, where the hell all the white people go in Calgary, right? Running. And these are the very people you don't want. I'm not just talking about the immigrant people. I'm talking about this blonde, yammering on about, diversity, inclusiveness and stuff like this, right? And light rapid transit systems. So every city in this country is a mess as we're trying to put this crap in. And messing the traffic flow up worse on purpose. It was really difficult to watch this thing. I ran a couple. I know who these people are. These people are vetted. You know, And this is why I keep saying Joe Average needs to run. Those people who have not been programmed need to run. Because if you got a room full of idiots who are so indoctrinated into this globalist UN Jewish Islamic agenda, well, then we're going to find ourselves in a hell of a pile of trouble. And the idea is, you see trouble coming, you should nip it in the bud. You know, you got to get ahead of the game here a little bit, kind of like head them off at the pass. And like they were saying in Calgary, you know, in Calgary, it's $500 to run for the frickin' mayor. $500. And if you win, you run the city. That's brilliant. And in Calgary, which is like a million people now or whatever, to run for council in Calgary is $100. That's it. $100. Okay, this is interesting. Sorry for the pause there. Helen just called from Calgary. So what I think I'm going to do is try to dig out Helen's, here she is. I think what I'll do is try and get Helen into this call or into the show. I'll call her because she was at City Hall yesterday. And see if I can't ring her in here. Hopefully I can. See, like Helen's a firecracker, right? Helen's got her act together.
Helen speaking.
Helen, I'm doing a show and I heard your call, so I called you back. I hope that's okay.
Well, oh, that's fine. Perfectly fine.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I spent from left here at my place about 8 and went down at City Hall. I was there at 8:45, 9:10, and spent until 12:30 there. I am very sickened, saddened that our city has gone down to the low roots that it has no roots at all.
Well, that's the whole idea. You lose the heritage, lose the roots, and you're a floating thing, and there's no direction.
And as far as school board trustees go, I missed one girl. Her name was Karen Draper, and I was there, but I guess she didn't see me or something, but we're certainly going to talk. I had about 8 different questions to ask the future, either incumbents or new trustees. And a lot of them all said either diversity. If I brought up globalism, they ran away.
They
had another interview or they were busy or just crawled under a rock. I mentioned Common Core. Most of them hadn't got an idea of Common Core. Now, on my Facebook page, I have a wonderful gentleman that was, I believe, from Harvard. I just posted it today, he talked about a Common Core and how it was communist.
Is he running for the school board?
No. He was from Harvard, and he was talking. It was on my Facebook because I wanted people to understand, and the trustees and the parents and the taxpayers to understand what they're doing to our children.
And actually, what they're doing to our children, yes or no, is a criminal act.
It's absolutely criminal, and it's just growing, and it's cancerous.
Like I had Chris's son on the show Sunday, and you know, he was explaining some of the stuff that goes on at the school in Kingston, Ontario. And, you know, you can't touch. I said, what happens? What if you got a girlfriend, right? Mm-hmm. And you're holding hands going down the hallway. You can't do that. Nope. No touch policy.
And the teachers are nothing but authoritarian robots.
Yeah.
No feeling for the students. No connections to the students. You just do what you're told. It's more than, I would think it's probably more than a prison for their age.
I think it's worse than a prison, actually.
Yeah.
I really, truly do. Christian got hauled into he flicked a ladybug at somebody and hit them with the ladybug. And got hauled into the principal's office and got chewed out. Then they phoned his mother. It's a ladybug, right? I mean, there's no wonder why, you know, they're saying that the students are suffering higher and higher levels of mental stress all the time, right?
Absolutely, and the teachers are even more mental.
Well, they're creating the mental stress, right?
Mm-hmm,
that's part of the agenda.
And you know, they get a high on it. Just when I observed, I was one of the people that spent many years going to the Calgary School Board's meetings. I was known as a permanent fixture there. I went there, I think, every month or every 2 weeks. I forget the times that I went. They get a high. It's like a dopamine high in their brains. Mm-hmm. When they're lying, they're cheating, they're stealing, you know, when they're being nefarious and calculating.
It's like they get off on it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? I talked to quite a few parents who were really ticked off about stuff, and they would go to the school board, right? And they were so put down by the school board members, right? That they didn't want to go there anymore, right? Because the school board members people are just like the teachers in the school. They're authoritarian idiots, right? Challenge them on their own turf, they get very demeaning very quickly.
Yep.
Yeah.
They shut you off. I know of a gentleman here in Calgary that went to every meeting. He went to the city hall for, I think, 20 years.
Ouch.
20 years. And he was one of my mentors. And he's finally given up. I sent an email, I believe it was to you, where there was going to be a gentleman who I knew, but I have known and I've observed him at some meetings, don't know him personally, but he has run a number of times to be mayor. I've seen him at the University of Calgary speaking at, you know, a forum, and I was quite impressed. And you know what? I don't know, because I didn't have time to look at the computer, but I understand this is what happened to him. There was some, they try and put fear in you if you speak out.
Yep. Exactly. That's the whole thing. That's why I keep telling people that, you know, getting one in is not going to solve anything. We have to get enough people to run to get control of the school boards and the councils, because if you run and win, and you're the only one that got your head screwed on straight, you're going to have a miserable time, and you're not going to accomplish anything. The only thing you can possibly hope to accomplish is wake enough people up for the next election.
Hard to do amongst, because I've observed it, who even chairs that have become chairs, that went in there with good intentions, a good family lady. She and I ran against each other. We both enjoyed each other. We, you know, helped each other. She respected me. And still, she was taken in by it. Finally, you know, she, near the end of the last term, she said, this is enough. And I
this is what happens, though. You know, if you take global warming, for instance, right? It doesn't really matter what the subject is, but there's always, like the lady you're talking about, there's always people that get it, right? And they try to explain, no, this is all wrong. And they find themselves alone, right? And eventually they just succumb. You know, and that's why I say we need more people to run. Now, I saw an interview on CBC today. Some guy was running around interviewing some of these people.
Yeah.
He was talking to a tall blonde woman. And, you know, out of her mouth coming, you know, diversity and inclusivity. I'm sure you heard that a lot today.
Yeah. Well, I saw her. She was running for school counselor, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I know her. She's well in the structure. I wouldn't even say hello to her. Almost. I mean, I didn't. I observed her. I saw her. And you know who's right at the door, ready to snap up any of the people, because they all work together. CTV, right. Global, QR770. They're all at the door. You take the picture because it's just one group. It's a cabal of. There's no newspaper.
There's no independent anything anymore. It's all been usurped. It's all totally controlled. It's all manipulated. And these clowns, this is what really irritates me about the media, is that these people know what they're up to. They know they're taking their nation down, and they just keep spewing the garbage, right? You know? There was a guy I saw there today who, not a big guy, but I guess he's been on council for two terms or something, maybe
is
more.
Is that Andrew, Andre Chabot?
That sounds right.
Well, I went to his...
Mm-hmm. He's running for mayor, right?
He is running for mayor. I met his mother, comes from a very nice family. I wish he would speak up more, but maybe in time. He seems to pick his battles, and so you have to. But because otherwise, it's the whole crowd is over you. It's like a swarm of cockroaches almost. And he's a very good guy. Now, I did meet another guy that I thought was very good, but as far as, and he stood up to something that we experienced, and he is outstanding, but as far as any backing goes or what he has for material, I don't know, but out of all of them, him and Andre Chabot by far are the, and his name is Brent Chrisom.
Okay, but Andre there, I listened to what he had to say, and he was the only one out of anybody that got interviewed that really made any sense whatsoever. He made no bones about the fact that we're not going for the Olympics. We're not ready. We can't afford it.
Yeah.
As far as the whatever the new arena is going to be, he says we can't finance this the way it is. Very straightforward, and he was very adamant about not allowing. He says if this same council gets in or the same mayor gets in, every freaking like he said he's pro single family homes, right?
Yes.
And if this mayor gets back in, all of these single family homes are all going to be turned into apartments.
And why I prefer Andre Chabot, I wish that Brent Chrisom was running for councilor, but why I prefer, and I went to his first meeting, and I also got an email today telling me on I think it was the 18th of the month, there's going to be something at, no, the 20th at McEwen Hall at the University of Calgary. And I, of course, plan on going there. He's fiscally responsible. He's had lots of experience. And I think he would be, out of all the people, he would be the best mayor for Calgary. Common sense. He knows how to speak both language, fluent in both languages. And he understands, he's fiscally responsible. He knows how the money has been mismanaged and put into envelopes and different
things. This is Andre you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. At the City Hall by Mayor Nenshi.
Right. Yeah, he seemed like he had his head on square, man. Like I listened to all this nonsense, all these interviews, and then comes up to this little guy, Andre. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how tall he is. I don't think he's that big a guy. But he as soon as he started to open his mouth, I just went, whoa, who's this guy?
Yes.
This guy understands what the hell's going on.
Absolutely, he does.
Yeah, and so my understanding in Edmonton and Calgary, there's a hell of a pile of people running.
I guess I'm going out today to get the newspaper or waiting for something, because up until 12 o'clock today, anybody who signed in yesterday could withdraw. So I wanted to get the final results.
Well, I looked at the Edmonton paper and it said that this is the max they've ever had run. Now, the other thing that scared me, I thought the interviewer at the end said that, hopefully we can get more than 39% of the people out. I don't know if I heard that right, but surely more than 39% of the people engage in the local election.
No, maybe, I think that's maybe I misheard it.
Maybe he said 69%. I'll have to check it out again.
No, I think it's more like 39, Ron.
I see
with Nenshi, I do see the same people, because I followed Nenshi. I was going to run for mayor the very first year that he was going to run, because I could see through this. I don't like to call him man, but whatever. And I just saw through his shirt. I saw through his big smile and his baby face, and I just knew that he wasn't above board. And there was a gentleman who's been at council meetings an awful lot. His name is Larry Heather, and he is running for mayor as well. He made a comment to me that, you see, there's not many young people around him near Nenshi anymore. They all know that there's no jobs, there's no money, and the young people, a lot of the young people, I think, are understanding what Trudeau, what Nenshi, and what Notley has done to our nation.
Well, you know, that was one of the themes that ran through the whole interviews thing with especially the reporter, was the fact that the Calgary economy is not doing so good.
It's awful.
Is it really bad?
Extremely bad. I don't think people realize it. And I'm so-called retired. And it's horrendous. And what they've done is, you used to see common folks and street people on the streets. Now the Nenshi and whatever has cleaned them up. There's almost no one on the streets. When I've observed some of these people, they are absolutely mentally, I don't know what they've been given by their physicians or whatever, but I imagine a horrendous amount of drugs, and they are basket cases.
There's that's going on everywhere. That is, and that's another, that's not by accident either.
Absolutely not. Nothing is by accident,
Bernice says. So hopefully Karen got her papers in.
Yes, she did. Did she?
I'm really proud of her. She called me, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, maybe. And we had a long chat, and I am so happy that you two got hooked up together. She called you her rock, but see, this again is what I keep talking about. You know, we got to relink the generations, right?
That's right.
You know, this is when we had Chris on Sunday, like he just turned 16, right? And, we need that linkage because, in the old days, you know, it could go from great grandparents down to the children. And it was linked and there was always these things to keep, you know, if the family was connected is what I'm saying. And so you couldn't get away with this crap with the kids back in the day.
That's right.
Wouldn't happen.
Even at my age, I had a woman come over, a friend come over to my house. We've been friends for probably 9 years. And I've had many friends a lot older than me. And this is a lady like 18, almost 20 years older than me. And you know what? She showed me things in my garden that I will do differently next year.
Well, see, this is the thing. I always found, it didn't matter what age I was, I always found myself connect, because the people my age, I knew what the hell was going on, but I was interested to see what the younger people were up to and what the older people were up to, because one you can learn from and the other one you can teach something to, right? And that's the links. You got to have those links, right? So what they've done is they've isolated the generations, right? And it makes it easy for the so-called government to manipulate the youngest generation in particular, because they don't have any memory of anything. So you set them in front of the TV when they're like 1 year old, and they put them in there watching cartoons and kids shows, which are propagandizing the program that's going to be taught to them when they hit school. So when they get to school, it seems normal.
Right. It's subliminal messages.
Right. But they're disconnected from anybody above them. And so the school's got free rein on their brain. They tell them any damn thing they want.
Well, it's disconnected, but any form of reality, they have no, they live in a fictional world. They were wired with their brains at the subliminal, unconscious, and, you know, unconscious levels. Then you turn around and you make robots out of them, so they don't connect with their heart or soul or their essence or their body.
That's right.
So they're like two parts of their body. One's the head and one's the body, and they don't know how to connect.
No, and the longer they go through this, the more they start to break down, because they know they're looking for something. They can't connect them to themselves even. They can't connect with their friends.
Right. I saw that with my husband. The same thing happened to him. And look at he died at 67 years young. Wandering and in total confusion and frustration.
Yeah, and that's what they do. They just mess people up, right? I mean, I got, you know, when I get talking to my old friends that are my age, when I hung out when I was a teenager and that, and I talk to these people, I just look at them and I'm thinking, you're old men, right?
That's right.
We're the same age, right?
But
you couldn't have an intelligent conversation with them if you wanted to.
I remember going to a restaurant at Chinook Shopping Center on McLeod Trail, and a gentleman said to me, I wanted to meet my husband for lunch. And he says, "Oh, is that your father?"
Yeah.
So that's what they prepare people to be old at the age of 14.
Yeah. And
insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And it's time, parents.
Well, that's why
I keep,
that's
in Canada.
that's exactly what I'm trying to encourage people. Like I had a guy trying to call into Revolution Radio today, and the lines are all screwed up, so he ended up calling me. And, you know, we had a very nice chat, and he's from Phoenix, Arizona, and we talked about, you know, where the power is in the nation, and it's where you live. And we have got to get people to engage. And, you know, when I explain to him, I look at this as a third world war, and it's a spiritual, psychological war. And this guy's on top. You know, when I said that to him, he said, that's it. That's exactly what this is. Right.
Yep.
and so we have two weapons that we can use. And one is our spirit, and which is the moral side of things. And our governments are completely amoral. So moral always trumps amoral if you move on it, and the other is psychology, because they're using psychology to get us to consent to what they want us to do. So we need to use psychology as a weapon, and we can turn this around.
I had another friend who was 88 years old, and he was from Hungary. He said at least one day he said to me, at least Helen. Because he was in the army or whatever over there.
Right.
He said, at least I knew when I was fighting who I was fighting against. Today, we do not know who we're fighting against.
Well, this is...
Because we're not wearing... We're wearing normal clothes and a big smile.
Well, that goes back to Cicero, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who said, you know, like a standing army at the gate is less to be feared.
Yes.
Because you know who the hell your enemy is, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're wearing their uniforms, and our enemy is wandering through our halls of government. They look like us, they speak like us, and it makes it very difficult because we trust them, supposedly.
That's right.
And so that's, you know, it's a psychological, spiritual war, and we got to get up on this thing. But I am so proud that Karen's running. She, you know, she said, I get nervous and I'm not as educated to some of these people and this and that. Right. And, so she's so grateful, that you're there.
Well, she's humble and she's real and she'll do her very best with the tools that she has. So the people in Calgary better wake up and know the false language that the incumbents are definitely the incumbents, especially one in particular that I was thinking of that's been there for 10 years.
Well, yeah.
And I interviewed her, and she won't change. She will do exactly what her officials tell her to do.
Well, yeah, and I basically, you know, when I was talking to Karen, and she said to you were saying basically the same thing. I said, do not allow yourself to be sucked in, because they're going to attack you, right? And don't go for the bait, right?
And I will go to every meeting. If she gets in, I will try and get in. I'll try to go to every meeting down at City Hall, and I will report to you, and I will report to them what I see happening.
Yeah, I hope that like during this election, like they're going to have all candidates meetings and that. I don't know if they do that for the school board, do they?
Yes, they do. Oh, yes.
Okay,
yes,
because I just had a vision of you sitting in the audience. For Karen to connect to, you know, and I think that will really, inspire her. And I do believe she'll do a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I'm just really proud of her, because I have been trying to get people to run since 2010. I mean, it's a tough haul, and you know, it costs so little to run. You know, I mean, Calgary's what, a million people now, thereabouts?
Yes, more than that.
More than that now? So a million people, and in a town of a million people, or a municipality of a million people, for $100, you can engage, and you can go out and talk to the people, right?
And
during an election, people's ears are more open than during the rest of the time. So, I mean, $500 to run for mayor in a city of over a million people, I mean, how could we not be running? I mean, it's ridiculous that we sit there on our hands and whine and bitch and complain, but we somehow here in this nation can't get up off our duffs and go put $100 down to run for council. And I think it's probably $100 to run for the Board of Education as all. I would think it's the same as a council member.
I can't remember what I paid.
But it's nothing is what it is.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I hope Karen gets in, and I hope that Andre Chabot gets in as mayor.
As far as
the councilors go, I really don't know. I think they're even watered down even more this year. I see.
You think so?
Absolutely. The ones that are running again, and the ones that have left, and the new ones coming in. I haven't looked at any of their platforms. I didn't interview any of them, but I see some connections there that I've known for quite a long time, and they're as bad, if not worse.
Well, Andre Chabot.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I was really getting, I mean, I've watched this stuff before. I've been involved in it. I've run. And I'm listening to these interviews and I'm going, oh, I just want to bang my head on the wall or put my fist through my screen, right?
Yes.
And then they hit Andre and I went, whoa, who's this guy?
Yes.
Right? So, you know, we're just going to have to cross our fingers and hope that he gets in.
Because, I hope he gets in.
Well,
sure.
You know, if he uses the same message he was had today, I don't see how he can't get in, because he's talking about people's, you know, we got to keep the taxes down. We can't afford the Olympics. So get that right off the block. We've spent enough money on this and that. And, you know, as far as the stadium goes, nice, but we're going to have to figure something different out, because we're not just going to go further in debt for an arena. And the thing about people protecting people's single family homes, I think he's got the right message out there for people, and I hope I think people are getting sick of this diversity, inclusivity, connectivity, nonsensical language. I think they've had it.
Also,
and I think candidates that are spewing that nonsense now are cutting their own throats.
One other thing that I hope he reins in, and I know that he will because he's fiscally responsible, is the infrastructure in Calgary and the, what is it called when you, I can't remember the name, what is it called when you put somebody in that's your friend, or you buy something, if you're a construction company and, or a property management company, you might have to pay 10 cents on the dollar and somebody else will lose. But they have strings to pull and a certain group will get in.
Well, I know that what you're saying. I can't remember the word either. Patronage.
There is a word.
Patronage or whatever.
Well, it's more.
No,
it's another
not patronage.
Word than
it's just,
patronage.
It's just corruption is all it is.
Yeah.
I think Andre will address
that as well.
I think so, too. We're going to hit music here in about a half a second. So,
okay.
I want to thank you so much for calling and picking up the phone when I called you back. And if you see Karen before I'm talking to her, give her a hug for me or something.
I will.
Because, you know, you two will make a good team. I think you'll make a very, very good team throughout this process. And I know how happy she is to have connected, because people her age aren't connecting properly, right? And so you're it.
At Andre's meeting when he had his open house, the one thing he said when he was talking about finances, I spoke out once because I just had to.
Okay, we got
working for the banksters.
Thank you so very much for calling me. I called you, but thanks for calling me, sir. Have a great night.
Selling lots of buying time, killing people that's in line, lower classes, social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, Caesar shit, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they master from brain.